Hey, truth be told, Captain Ron here at AlienCon. We have the great honor to have Jonathan Young took a few minutes to talk to us. Jonathan, we appreciate you coming on. I'd like to start off by asking you, you talk about folklore and legends and that sort of thing. What do you think it is that compels humanity? Throughout humanity, we always have to believe in something. What is that?
Well, these great stories, the wisdom tales, whether they're from legend or folklore or mythology, help us understand our own stories. They are sacred in nature. That is, they draw us toward the mysteries, the unanswerable questions. And we need to know our place in the universe. We need to know what purpose we have in our own life journeys. And the stories help give us that. Not clearly, not like a self-help book, you know, with bullet points. We have to ponder the images, the metaphors, and see which stories speak to us. There are so many. But this comes from the collective wisdom or from a transcendent source. Nobody knows, although people have theories. The point is the stories hold up, and they're often about visitations from mysterious places, whether this is angelic or somebody stepping out of the roots of a tree. Those are the fairy stories. Queen Mab might come up from the underworld. But these encounters change history. They change the lives of the people that have the good fortune or bad fortune, because it's not necessarily fun. But these are impactful events. And in a way, I see this entire gathering as a continuation of this tradition.
How about like with religion? How does religion play into this? Because religion's sort of in that same sort of thing, right? People believe in that and then they hold on to it.
Well, we need a framework of belief. We need a system of significance. And traditionally, this has addressed the great mysteries by coming up with answers. And believers tend to see their own set of answers as a kind of final truth. But I'm more interested in interfaith conversations where we see commonalities, that is, the shared patterns in the kind of guiding stories we listen to, so that we see how much we have in common. Fewer wars,
right.
But it takes a little bit away from the absolute certainty, which people really find comforting. But then we know we go through great changes in our thinking throughout life. For example, life stage crises, moving from youth to adulthood, or adulthood to midlife, or midlife to the late years. And our ideas really, really change. Sometimes our religious ideas.
I'm a completely different person now than I was 20 years ago when I was 9.
Yeah, so the religious stories are the most significant. Those are the ones that get to the biggest questions.
Well, what about psychologically speaking? How does like a belief in these things that may or may not be real, how does that tie in to this? Is there...
Well, a child believes in the tooth fairy and Santa Claus and a lot
sure.
of things. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But we realize as we grow that some things that we have held very literally are more ceremonial. That's the parents' love to give you some money when you lose a tooth to comfort you. That's the generosity of friends and family to give gifts at holiday time. It's still real. It's still good, but a little less literal. So we go through these changes. And possibly in our late life, if we have lived well and honestly with ourselves, we come to an understanding that's beyond the specifics of the tradition. And more on an experiential level, it's more like we have come to live the stories. And this is stronger than believing.
Do you feel that since these stories, a lot of this folklore and these things that you've studied over the years, has been transcended throughout time, do you feel that that substantiates maybe a belief in some of the extraterrestrial life, since some of these stories do go back thousands and thousands of years?
I am a scholar of symbolism, not flying saucers. So I look at what it means to us emotionally, psychologically, historically.
Right.
There are others in this gathering that have spent a lot of time, and a scholar needs to stick to what they have spent their time studying. So what I see is the significance of a visitation from the heavens, and that is how I see the possibility of contact representing. And I'm particularly interested in science fiction films, because the films set out an example that lets us ponder and discuss.
But that's fiction.
You know it's fiction, that's right. And yet it's getting at some truth. I've certainly heard novelists give talks where they say, you know, I've written some memoir, I've written some journalism. When I write a novel, I can tell the truth. I can get at the deeper issues. So that's how I see the guidance, the wisdom of sci-fi films.
I've had some of these guys here. We've met some people before who wrote books that they wrote as fiction, yet they say it was really true.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting
thing. And I do think, at least on an emotional level, the real truth is often revealed through fiction. And since movies, and to a lesser extent, long-form television, is how it, those are the novels right now. Those are the big stories that more people are seeing. I am looking philosophically and theologically to movies as a form of revelation is coming through a writer and a filmmaker through their unconscious, because that's where the creative process comes to. And we know, as a depth psychologist, I'm a Jungian, so I'm very interested in the archetypal patterns and what is happening on the unconscious level, what we're tapping into beyond ourselves.
Carl Jung actually wrote about UFOs at one point, right?
He thought there was something to it. 1957, a little book called Flying Saucers. The only...
Think about that. 1957. That's a long time ago to have a belief in this.
Yes, yes.
Or an interest.
Early
in
the... That's right. And he thought there was something to it. He's the only major theorist to have written and acknowledged the importance of this movement. He thought that it was really a new religious movement, that something was happening on a transcendent level that was coming in these images. He made a lot of the fact that the flying saucers were round.
Right.
He saw as a mandala-like image.
It feels like a religion when you look around here. These people are devoted fans of this stuff, right?
Yeah, and on a personal level, it is so meaningful and so rewarding to them. And I've talked to people that watch the show. They watch them over and over again. They're getting something. Part of it they can explain to you, and part of it is almost a ceremonial quality. This, to some degree, reflecting on these themes has become the personal devotions of our time.
And they love being able to share that with other peoples. And being able to catch up with you guys is really great for them. You know?
All big movements have their moments of congregation. I mean, when I've been active in church circles, you'd go to great big events and to share and bond. And here we are.
Now, it's great having a scientist from your scientific viewpoint on the show Ancient Aliens. Do you want to tell us your personal feeling about extraterrestrial life?
Well... You probably read Jacques Vallée, who was more of a nuts and bolts theorist at first and then has become more mysterious in what he thinks it is. So I'm over on that end of the spectrum. I think something is happening, but I don't think actual spacecraft have come from one planet to another. Maybe it's interdimensional. Maybe it's communication telepathically that seems quite visible or coming in our dreams. Very speculative. I'm more interested in what it means to people emotionally than trying to explain how it happens.
Exactly. And it is interesting that it could be, we don't even know, we can't even pin it down whether it's interdimensional, whether it's interplanetary. There's so many things. Before I let you go, I want to please beg you, I got the pleasure last night to see you speak at the panel at the end about Ancient Aliens. And as I mentioned to you earlier, they let you go last,
yes,
which was
it.
Wonderful. And he gave this amazing, you surmised... Like the whole thing about ancient... Do you mind kind of giving our audience a take of what you did?
It's so the gist of it, I started with Carl Jung's ideas about the flying saucer being a mandala, being a very significant event historically, culturally, and then to Joseph Campbell's ideas of following your bliss, which people misunderstand. They think, oh, that's having a good time. It's actually a very difficult path. It is following your deepest passion, what really calls to you in secret and mysterious ways. It's having a calling, and... I was acknowledging that this gathering for a lot of the people here is really following a sort of mysterious thread, an aspect of their story they do not entirely understand, but they know it is important. So to come to this is to trust our inner voices and to live meaningfully, and that is what we're after. Kevin said that the subtext that is not always acknowledged is that the stories are about finding God or searching for God. And I broadened the language a little. Yes, yes. Searching for the transcendent, searching for beauty, searching for purpose, searching for our place in the universe, a sense of meaning. The big, big questions in this humble little television show. I mean, it's a great show. It's very nicely made, but its aspirations don't announce themselves as being so large. But then I was saying, this event is not just about some nicely made show on the History Channel. This is people gathering, rising to a new vision, a new sense of possibility. This is our effort and everyone's effort here to make history.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You said how it was a part of their life, that this is a part of their personal history, being compelled to come here. Even us, we feel the synchronicity. There's something to it about the way we come here, the way we meet people. It just feels more than chance, almost.
To refer to a very old movie that some of your viewers, I hope, have seen, the Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, my God.
It opens
I hate to think that that's an old movie. Yeah.
intense sense of calling that can't be explained, ineffable, in our bones. I must move in this direction. I must go. And whether we're ever able to explain it or not, it ends up being one of the most meaningful things that's ever happened.
That's so well put. Great reference. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate you coming on Truth Be Told. For Tony Sweet, I am Captain Ron here at AlienCon.